BSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Happy Thursday to you. Welcome in to a new day here on the program, and hope it's starting off well for you. Not too cold out there, and well, at least not for January 30th. But we've got a lot that we can discuss this morning. Later on, we're going to be joined by a guest who's going to be talking with us about some changes to the schedule over at Seekonk Speedway that have some racers signing a petition. So we will get into that. Basically, they've taken the powder puff races off the schedule, which were women-only races, and they've replaced it with something else. And they're starting now a petition to try to show Seekonk Speedway that they're still interest and fan support for these all-women races. So we'll get into that in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll also keep an eye on and try to bring you the latest on the horrific tragedy overnight in which the military helicopter crashed into the passenger plane. You heard there in the ABC News the latest on that. It was apparently a training mission, a training exercise for the helicopter pilot, and that they were aware that there was a plane, but something went wrong. And that's all that we know right now. They are searching for any possible survivors. 60 passengers and 4 crew on the plane, and I believe it was either 3 or 4 on the helicopter. And they're still in a rescue effort, but with the cold temperatures, eventually that rescue effort is going to turn into a recovery effort. And for those who don't know the difference, rescue is when they're trying to find living survivors, and recovery is when they're just trying to recover the body. So hopefully the rescue effort proves fruitful and they find some survivors. But I know there was reporting that they had at least pulled 3 bodies so far. And then we can also discuss Mayor John Mitchell's State of the City address yesterday. If you didn't hear it live yesterday as we were carrying it here on WBSM, you can catch it in the podcast of Barry's show from yesterday. The first hour podcast has it in its entirety. If you want to read it in its entirety, you can read that at, we have 2 stories up at WBSM.com and on the app about the State of the City address. One focusing on some of the technology advances the mayor touted in his speech. And that was written by our new intern from Stonehill College, Mackie Young, if you want to check that out. And then also, I have a story there about the mayor discussing how they expect the police department to be up to 230 officers by this spring, which is 31 new recruits on the force from where we were at last year. Still probably about 20 shy from where they want to be, but they have a recruiting effort going on right now for the upcoming civil service exam to try to get more people to apply, whether it be people that are already applying to be police officers to consider New Bedford as an option for employment, or if you are considering a career in law enforcement. But New Bedford offers a $5,000 sign-on bonus for new officers, and they've waived the residency requirement. They also have a program in place, and I think they might have already had it, but they will offer some training to help you do the best that you can on the civil service exam. So they put in a lot of efforts to be able to bring up those numbers. And then they're also going to be boosting the department overall by building a new police headquarters. I personally, you know, I'm not trying to be negative about it. I think that they definitely need a new police headquarters. I've been in the current one, the former Fernandes supermarket. I've seen, you know, what the working conditions are like there, and they've made the best of it, but that was only supposed to be a temporary solution, you know, 30 years ago. And they're still there. So they're definitely in need of a new police station. But I don't know how much I feel that that's going to be something that, you know, I don't think people are deciding whether or not they want to be a police officer and saying, oh, gee, I'd love to go work in New Bedford, but that police headquarters is terrible. So that's going to keep me from being part of the New Bedford Police Department. I mean, I think nobody has a worse police headquarters than Wareham that I've been in. And you can't even walk up the front stairs. There are some days that they have to like rope them off because they're too dangerous for people to walk up and down them. And they've been trying to build a new police station for decades in Wareham, but they had to build a new elementary school instead. But yeah, they're still getting people to come and be police officers. So, I mean, I think, sure, having a new police headquarters will help and it's deserved, but I don't know that that's a big impediment to people joining the department or retaining people. But the mayor went through, I mean, generally there's a few bits of news that come out in the State of the City addresses every year. But I don't think there was anything that was, you know, big news that wasn't things that have already been telegraphed or discussed ahead of time. Which, you know, is fine. I'm not expecting there to be breaking news in every state of the city. I'm just saying, I don't think that there was, you know, there was a lot of pats on the back, which is what this is all about. You know, not only to talk about the success of the city overall and what's been being implemented, but also to recognize the department heads and the people involved in making it happen. So the mayor talked about the completion of several key port projects, including cutting the ribbon on the North Terminal, expanding the New Bedford Marine Commerce Terminal, dredging dozens of berths, and making multi-million dollar renovations of municipal fishing piers. He talked about construction of the city's first regulation-sized soccer field at Dias Field, extensive stormwater improvements at Buttonwood and Brooklawn Parks to prevent flooding, a complete redesign of Ashley Park, and the reconstruction of the West Beach Bathhouse, several major transportation projects, including the New Bedford-Fairhaven Bridge, the pedestrian bridge over Route 18, the Route 195 viaduct, and intercity rail service between New Bedford and Boston. More housing completed in 2024 than in any year in recent memory after the city streamlined permitting, overhauled the zoning use table, and eased planning board review requirements. As I mentioned, with the police department, investments in public safety continued to tout that over the last decade, violent crime has dropped 58%. Nearly every school in the district older than 20, I'm assuming years, has undergone or will undergo a major facility renovation, with projects completed in 2024, including a state-of-the-art field hockey and lacrosse field at New Bedford High School and handicapped accessible playgrounds at three elementary schools. Now, what are his plans for 2025? He said that the New Bedford Economic Development Council will develop a roadmap for growing the city's manufacturing sector. So this is especially key for the changes that they're putting in place into what they're looking for at that proposed advanced manufacturing campus that, as we know before, did not draw any proposals, any bids, anybody that was interested. But now, rather than look for one developer to come in and develop the whole property, they're going to be breaking that up. I also said that the Regeneration Committee is developing a new strategic economic development plan that aims to enhance the city's opportunities in manufacturing, healthcare, culture, and other facets of a regional economy. He will also resubmit a proposal to the City Council to adopt the state law regarding health insurance negotiations between unions and the city that could save taxpayers millions of dollars. And he pointed out, every year, that's one of the biggest items on the budget. This year, it's $50 million and growing. He also talked about proposed ordinances that will further spur housing development by reducing the minimum lot size and number of parking spaces required in multifamily neighborhoods to make it easier for developers to build apartments. So as you remember, we talked about this quite a bit where, you know, there was a lot of discussion about, well, they'd love to come and build this apartment building, but there's not enough parking to guarantee the required amount of spaces. Well, with these, what do they call them, transit overlay districts around where the train stations will be and in other areas of the city, they have the opportunity to build housing where there wouldn't be that parking, but maybe the people that would live in that housing wouldn't need that parking. He also offered the suburbs help in to build multifamily housing. He also discussed releasing New Bedford's first comprehensive data strategy and hiring the city's first director of data management, Christina Kortsaridis. And that was a big, big part of the focus here is utilizing data and technology to better streamline city services and to give better information on how the city is performing. He also talked, as I mentioned, about upping the police department staffing from 199 to 230. He talked about the city's new mobile app, NB Connected, that will roll out in the coming weeks. That will place city services at residents' fingertips, allowing them quick and easy access to pay bills, apply for permits, pay for parking, or submit a request for non-emergency services like a pothole or an overflowing trash can. Basically, you don't have to call the mayor's office. You don't have to call DPI. You don't have to call your ward counselor. You don't have to call the radio station on Wednesdays to ask the mayor, when are they going to come and trim those trees down in front of my house? You'll be able to do it all through this NB Connected app. He also talked about the ongoing work at the schools, especially focusing on chronically absent students. And he said a comprehensive maintenance plan is being developed for the city's street tree program, and they will soon have an interactive online map that will allow users to look at information for any of the 12,000 street trees in the city. And you know, we've joked in the past about how much Mayor Mitchell loves trees because that's been a big part of his tenure in office is focusing on more of those planting of trees. But he's talked about on numerous occasions what exactly that means. Why trees are so important. Not only are they nice to look at, not only do they help clean the air, but they also force people to slow down, and they also help keep some of the homes cool. So think about this. If you live in a triple-decker in the south end, the near north end, there's no trees around, and on a hot summer day, you're just surrounded by hot pavement and other houses, other buildings. You're just baking in that heat. But you start throwing in trees that I know now they're not as high as the houses, but they get to that point. They're offering you shade. They're offering you a lower temperature. So it does make a difference. Plus, I don't think anybody's going to complain about more trees as long as those trees are maintained, which is what this new online interactive app will allow you to keep track of. But I even said kind of under my breath when he made that announcement, I was like, well, that's kind of super nerdy. That you can go and check out any one of the, and get information on the 12,000 trees in the city. That's a lot of trees. Like, who's going to go on? I got to go check out the trees today. I love it. I love the idea. And I'm just being slightly facetious here. But as I was saying, it sounds like, you know, technology is going to play a big part in New Bedford going forward, but not in a way that makes it inaccessible for the people who utilize technology. It's not like he came out and said, the only way you're going to pay bills from now on is on this forthcoming app. It's just another way. Think of all the people who pay most of their bills online or on an app. I don't even have a checkbook. I don't have to write checks for anything. I pay all my bills online. I pay my rent online through an app. I mean, everything is done that way to the point where before it used to be an anomaly. Before it used to be, what do you mean I got to go online? I can't just come down and pay a bill? It used to drive people crazy when they would go to the cable company or the phone company when that was the thing, you know, the landlines. And they would say, oh, you can pay that bill online. Like, you don't have to wait here. You can go pay. Like, no, I'm here to pay the bill. Like, they wanted to have a physical transaction. Some people did that every month. They didn't want to mail a check. They wanted to go and make the payment in person. Some people in cash. But now, if you said to somebody, oh, instead of paying that online, we need you to mail it in or come down to our office, people would be like, just get an app. Like, the desire of people to actually go and do things in person has changed. Why spend time going down to City Hall to pay a bill if you don't have to? You got to go find a parking space. Then you got to go in and find where the office is that you have to go to. And then you might have to wait for somebody to see you. And, you know, it's just, you can just go online in your pajamas right now and pay your bill. So I'm all for more technology like that. I think it pays for itself. Whatever it's going to cost to develop and maintain the app is actually quite minimal in the grand scheme of things. They're probably paying less than the salary of one person that would be doing some of that work. And that's the future. So we've got to embrace it. 508-996-0500. I'll get into some of the mayor's other comments from yesterday. But right now, I've got to take a break. We'll be back in a few moments. All right. We're going to be going into the newsroom. And on the other side, we can take your calls. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails, both open to you on the WBSM app. But right now, we're going to go into the newsroom with Phil Devitt.
President Trump signs his first bill, the Lincoln-Riley Act. Robert F. Kennedy faces tough questions, and a space mystery may be solved.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Donald Trump signed his first bill on Wednesday, the Lincoln-Riley Act, named after a Georgia nursing student killed by an undocumented immigrant. The law mandates the detention of migrants accused of crimes like theft and assault and allows states to sue the federal government over immigration enforcement failures. While the bill received some bipartisan support, most Democrats opposed it, citing due process concerns and lack of funding. Supporters argue it strengthens border security, while critics warn it could lead to mass detentions without trials. The law comes amid ongoing debate over immigration policies and their enforcement. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. faced tough questions in his Senate confirmation hearing as he seeks to become President Trump's health secretary. Senators pressed him on his past views on vaccines, abortion, and public health, with Democrats citing his history of vaccine skepticism and shifting positions on abortion. Kennedy insisted he is not anti-vaccine, but called for more research on long-established medical treatments. Republicans expressed hope he could help lower health care costs, while critics accused him of changing positions to align with Trump. He'll face a second hearing today before the Senate's Health Committee. A Temple University freshman has died after falling from a pole while celebrating the Eagles' NFC Championship victory. Tyler Sabapathy, an 18-year-old from Toronto, climbed the pole on Sunday night and fell, hitting his head on the sidewalk. The accomplished gymnast and exercise science major died on Tuesday in the hospital. He was active in Temple's gymnastics program and won over 120 medals in his career. The university released a statement expressing their condolences. Emergency alert systems are meant to keep residents safe during disasters, but they're not always working as intended. During recent wildfires in Southern California, some evacuation orders came after homes were already burning. This isn't an isolated incident. Similar alert system failures have been reported in other major fires, including the devastating fires in Paradise and Lahaina. The problem often lies in the complex communication chain between first responders, government, and the public, which can easily break down. An outside review is underway in Los Angeles County to investigate the recent failures. A privately developed jet has broken the sound barrier for the first time, marking a potential milestone in supersonic travel. The XB-1 aircraft reached Mach 1.05 over the Mojave Desert, paving the way for Boom Supersonic's future Overture airliner. Boom Supersonic aims to revive commercial supersonic passenger flights, which haven't been available since the Concorde's retirement. And that mini moon that briefly hung around Earth last year, turns out it might be a chip off the old moon. Scientists analyzing the asteroid 2024 PT5 found its composition remarkably similar to lunar rocks. While it never fully orbited Earth, its unusual horseshoe trajectory and recent departure suggest a relatively short time in space. The discovery adds to a growing understanding of lunar asteroids and the history of impacts on the moon.
WBSM Sports.
Tonight, the Boston Bruins are home at TD Garden. They'll play the Winnipeg Jets. And on Friday night, the Celtics are away to play the New Orleans Pelicans.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Mostly sunny and breezy on the South Coast for your Thursday, getting up to a high around 30 degrees. On Friday, cloudy with rain developing, a high near 41. On Saturday, mostly sunny skies will hover around 36 degrees for your temperature. And on Sunday, partly to mostly cloudy, PM rain and snow likely, a high of 32. This WBSM news update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
She confessed her love to me, then she vanished on the breeze. Trying to hold on to that was just impossible. She was more than beautiful, closer to ethereal, with a kind of down-to-earth flavor. Close my eyes, it's 3 in the afternoon. Then I realize that she's really gone for good.
And welcome back. One of my favorite eras of Rolling Stones music was the 90s. The Voodoo Lounge album, the Bridges to Babylon album, both two of my favorites. And, you know, back when you'd still hear the Rolling Stones on Top 40 radio and see their videos on MTV. Remember MTV, kids? But that was a song where, you know, at the time that came out, I want to say 97. So at the time that came out, you know, there were a lot of these cases of musicians getting sued for plagiarizing other songs. I mean, no less than George Harrison, John Fogerty, guys like that have been put through it in the 80s and before. But there was a lot of lawsuits that were happening over some of this. And someone once said to the Rolling Stones, they were recording that, wow, that chorus really sounds like Constant Craving by K.D. Lang. And Mick Jagger was like, oh, I know that song, so I can't be sure that I wasn't influenced that song. So they just proactively put K.D. Lang on the song as a songwriter. I forget if they actually reached out and told her about it or if they just put it on there, but they listed her as a songwriter. So she makes royalties off that song, even though she had nothing to do with it, just because they figured better safe than sorry. But they're also the Rolling Stones, so they can give up, you know, royalties on a song like that. They can say, you know what, we'll split it three ways with her instead of just two ways with, you know, Keith and Mick. But still, you know, it's still a class move either way. Now, this is also the same band that around the same time was involved in litigation with the Verve? Yeah, the Verve. I always get the Verve and the Verb pipe confused. But the Verve over Bittersweet Symphony, because that took a sample of the orchestral Rolling Stones from the last time and used that as the hook. That was a little bit different. That was an actual lifting of the song without giving credit or paying royalties for it. So a little different. And eventually, from what I understand, because it's the publishing companies that sue these other artists, it's not the artists themselves that are behind it, but from my understanding, they eventually said to Richard Ashcroft of the Verve, yeah, you can have all the money now. Point proven. And so now he's the one that gets the royalties for the song. So pretty interesting behind the scenes things that happened with some of that. Anyway, 508-996-0500. So I had an interesting experience last night trying to get some fast food. And I don't want to bash a place, but I'm just so frustrated by this. And, you know, we're talking about apps and how they can make things more efficient. So I'm here yesterday. You know, I went and covered the State of the City address. Came back, had more work to do. I didn't leave here till almost 7:30 p.m. So for me, that's a 13 and a half hour day, a little bit more. So when I got done, I was hungry. I mean, they gave us a nice, fantastic lunch at the State of the City address, but that was at noon. And by this point, it's, you know, 7:30. I was hungry. And just as I'm packing up, I happen to get an email from Popeyes. Because I've had a Popeyes app and email newsletter sign up and everything going back years. And so when my son was little, he really liked the chicken because he likes spicy. So, you know, sometimes when I was working at the Standard Times, I'd stop by and bring some home or what have you. So anyway, I get this email that says 12 chicken tenders for $12. And I was like, wow. Those are pretty big chicken tenders, too. And the way my appetite is now these days, being on the Manjaro, that's, you know, 12 chicken tenders could be like 3 days worth of dinners for me. So I said, all right, that's a good deal. I'm going to pick that up, and then I can just have a couple chicken tenders for dinner and go to bed. So I get to the Popeyes over on Cogswell Street, and I put in my order on the app, and still can't believe you're getting 12 tenders for $12. Get in line in the drive-thru to pick it up. I'm order number 69, so I have a good laugh at that. And then when I get to the speaker and they say, oh, you know, can you take your order? I'm here to pick up order 69. Oh, the chicken tenders? Yeah. we ran out of chicken tenders. We're making some new ones. We've been very busy, so we're making some new ones that right now. We'll have those for you in about 20 minutes. And I'm like, 20 minutes? First of all, I've worked in food service. It takes 6 minutes to cook an order of chicken tenders, not 20, but okay, fine, 20 minutes. So I pull into the parking lot and, you know, start looking at things on my phone, and 20 minutes goes by and I walk into the restaurant and try to pick up my order. And now, by the way, if you've ever done a mobile order pickup at Popeyes, they have a special area for you to stand in where they will continue to ignore you for another 10 or 15 minutes. And that's what happened. Eventually, someone sees that there's a group of people now standing over there in the mobile order area, and it's where the DoorDash people pick up and all that too. And they say, you know, oh, who's here for chicken tenders? I was like, oh, here we go. They ran out of chicken tenders. They don't have any more, which, you know, I'm not surprised, because if you're offering 12 chicken tenders for $12, you're probably getting a bunch of people that are coming down to get them. It's a great deal. So, okay, fine. It happens. But why didn't you tell me that 20 minutes ago? Or why didn't you say that when I first walked in 15 minutes ago and stood here? So I've now wasted over half an hour for something that they could have just turned off ordering on the app for. Because that's how I ordered it. And then, you know, I'm like, well, can I get just $10 worth of other chicken? Oh, no refunds either. What? Yeah, you have to go on the app and request a refund. Okay. So then I go into the app and I request a refund. And I did it right when I got back in the car so I wouldn't forget. And they have a little AI chat bot that helps you. And it was very helpful. It didn't even question me. It's going to give me the refund. But it says it'll take 5 to 7 business days for it to process the refund. And I've had this happen before. I had a very contentious argument with Papagino's at one of my paranormal events over them not refunding my $300-something order so that I could get it from the other Papagino's in the same town, because they claimed that their oven broke, even though I think it was more, you know, it was a 90-degree summer day and they just didn't want to run the pizza ovens. But I was told the same thing then. Oh, it's 5 to 7 days to process the refund. Like, why? Why is it that a restaurant takes 5 to 7 days to process it, but if I go into Walmart, buy something with my debit card, walk into Walmart, pick it up, you know, buy it then, go up back out of the parking lot, decide, hey, you know what? I don't want this anymore. Walk back in and return it. I can get my money right away. But anyway, so I put in to get the refund at Popeyes. And then just out of spite, just because I was ticked off at Popeyes, drove to the KFC on Cushing Avenue and ordered chicken, made a TikTok video about it and tagged Popeyes. Because I'm petty like that. But, and I'm not trying to besmirch anybody, but man, that Popeyes is nothing but problems. And I'm sure they're working hard over there, but there's issues there. So hopefully, you know, they can get that worked out. And I still had an easy chicken dinner with enough leftovers for something to eat tonight after bowling. So I guess all's well that ends well, and I really didn't eat any of it, but it seemed like a good idea at the time. And I know what would have happened is I would have gotten 12 chicken tenders, eaten two, gone to bed, woken up, said, I'm going to bring the rest in for lunch, looked at them and said, I don't want any more of these, and then just given them to everybody here. I've got to learn to order the small, you know, because inevitably I don't want to finish the rest of whatever I have. I don't want to eat leftovers. It's kind of a side effect of this medication, I guess. So in the end, I didn't need 12 chicken tenders. The 3 pieces of chicken I got at KFC is enough. 508-996-0500. We'll be back in a few moments.
Better.
It's either that song or I'm Still Standing. That's my favorite Elton John song. I like the early 80s Elton John. He had that trifecta. He had that song, I'm Still Standing. He had Sad Song, Say So Much. I don't know. Those to me, first of all, I remember seeing those early videos on MTV. Being like 5, 6 years old watching MTV. But then also listening to that in the car. Being in my mom's big old, I think it was an Oldsmobile. I forget. It might have been a Cadillac. She had a big blue car. And she would drive us to school, drive me to school in the morning. Because, you know, when I was in first grade, I lived in Randolph. And I had to walk to school. School was like 4 or 5 blocks away. The Stetson Elementary School, which is now the police station, I believe. I think now it's a town hall. It was the police station. Now it's a town hall. But on cold days, she would say, well, we're going to drive over instead. And then she'd pick me up after school, all my siblings in the car. I had 3 siblings at the time. My little sister wasn't born until later, my youngest. But then we'd get in the car afterwards, and I have so many memories sitting in the back of that car and hearing Elton John, hearing Paul McCartney, The Cars. And when I hear some of those songs, that's exactly right where I go back to. Sitting in the back of that blue, whatever it was. Driving to what was then the only Dunkin' in Randolph. So my mom could get a coffee before we go home. And listening to there's palpable memories for sure. Anyway, 508-996-0500. Got a lot of responses yesterday on Facebook to the question that I put out about the proposed law in Connecticut where movie theaters are going to be required to tell you if it goes through. Movie theaters will be required to tell you when the movie starts exactly. So that you can determine what time you're going to show up. I think most people understand the general rule of thumb is, 15, 20 minutes. So if a movie's supposed to start at 7:15, as long as you're sitting down in your seat at 7:30, you're not going to miss any of the movie. And a lot of folks look at it now as the time that the movie starts should be their arrival time. Now, I try to get there 20 minutes before even the scheduled start. But I'm weird. I like to sit down in the theater and, get comfortable in my seat. And sometimes I'll even eat my snack if I get one before the movie even starts, because then I'm not rustling around with I don't get popcorn often, but sometimes the mood hits me. Other people don't want to sit there any longer than they have to. So they're going to show up. If the movie starts at 7:15, they're walking into the mall at 7:15. Then going over to the concession stand, getting their popcorn, getting their candy. That gives me too much anxiety. And plus, I like the coming attractions. I like the trailers. I like seeing what's coming up. I'll watch that Nicole Kidman 30 times telling us how You know, heartbreak feels good in a place like this. But I do think it's interesting that this will draw attention to the fact that there is so much advertising before the movies. I'm wondering how long it'll be, too, before they start saying, well, you know, if there's a Marvel movie that comes out, everybody wants to stick around to see the mid-credit scene and the end-credit scene. Maybe we can run a commercial before the credits. You never know what ideas they're rolling around in their heads. But I don't think this year, I guess there's some movies coming out that they think might be big draws. There's a new Captain America movie coming out. But the Marvel slate has slowed down because the Marvel interest has slowed down. I think that the most recent movies haven't been that great, and that's part of it. They're hoping that this Captain America movie is what brings people back, but we'll see. I don't even know that I'm going to go see it in the theater, and I've got the subscription. I probably will eventually. They probably make out on me on that deal anyway, because I could see three movies a week, and I probably don't see three movies a month most of the time on average. But at least I know I can always go if I want to. Maybe tomorrow night. I want to go see Presence, so maybe I'll go tomorrow night. 508-996-0500. Let me take my final break of this hour. I can never hear that song and not picture the SCTV sketch where you've got